KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
It's Monday, February 23rd, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. First up, Steve Schoonmaker, longtime Alaska fisherman and participant at the Astoria Fisher Poet Gathering, shares some of his background in the Alaska industry and the new poem that he plans to read in Astoria at the event taking place next weekend. Emily Springer spoke with Schoonmaker earlier this week.
The Astoria Fisher Poets Gathering is an event in Astoria, Oregon that has brought poets and storytellers together, sharing music, stories, and poetry related to various features of fisheries in the last weekend of February since 1998. The event was originally conceived of by John Broderick, a former teacher who has been a commercial salmon fisherman since the 70s, and with his family runs a set net outfit in Bristol Bay each summer. Broderick is still very involved with all features related to organization of the Astoria event. The board currently consists of 10 people with various features of commercial fisheries and social science backgrounds. Kisilov resident Steve Schoonmaker, a commercial fisherman across the state of Alaska, has been performing the event for 17 years and visited KBBI in Homer to share his fisheries background and his latest poem composition that he'll be performing this year in Astoria. Schoonmaker has lived on the Central Peninsula since he was 16 years old and started commercial fishing after working as a fish technician with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game at Karluk Lake on Kodiak Island in the early 1980s. After visiting Kodiak's Beachcomber Bar and looking out over the busy harbor, he decided he would prefer to try commercial fishing and was encouraged by his Fish and Game supervisor.
I really want to go fishing. I think I'm not going to go back to Karluk this summer. He looked at me and he said, do it. He said, you know what? You're a good tech. And I was planning, I kind of want to go to, I had a chance to go to the University of Alaska in Juneau at Auk Bay for a fisheries thing. He said, man, it's fine. He said, you get that degree, you're going to end up answering a phone like me. In an office. He said, dude, I would love to be able to do what you're doing. Go. He said, you can come back anytime you want with a fishing game job. It took me a whole month pounding the docks to get on a crab board. The guy was just an ass, just a screamer. That's why I got on.
Since that first year, he has been fishing in Sandpoint, Kodiak, Togiak, the west side of Cook Inlet, and now in the salmon drift fishery based out of Cordova in Prince William Sound. He has owned and operated the FV Saltour since 2000, a 1989 28-foot fiberglass bow picker. He notes that the industry has changed dramatically since the early 1980s, and over time he has thought about leaving it, but at this point has his gear and permit paid off and intends to continue in the industry. Before sharing the poem that he has for this year's composition, he provided a background glance on what he's done since he started in the industry.
At 16, when they brought me here at that time, the opportunity was incredible for a guy like me to outdoors. That's what I wanted. Hunting, fishing, outdoors, traveling. Right out of high school, went across the inlet, spent three winters trapping in the bush. Completely out of contact with town, one other person with me. You know what I mean? You can't do that no more. It's all National Monument over there now. You know? Then it, wow, I'm so glad I did all that. I quit fishing game, so I don't got no pension. Oh, I worked for the hatcheries. I could have been a hatchery manager by now. Oh, I didn't do that either. Got out of high school like all my buddies. I could have gone out north and got on with the oil company and didn't do that either. But you know, I'm glad. Because when I was young and I was of the mind to, I'm not putting down people who wait till they're older to do these things. I understand responsibilities and everyone's got their own thing. But looking back on it, even though I don't really have like a retirement or nothing, I'm so glad that when I had the powerful youth, it was all the opportunity. And looking back, it was kind of unbelievable now. You know what I mean? You grew up here. I mean, and the opportunity that people have now are different.
Schoonmaker shared his preference for reciting his poetry by oral memory rather than reading.
If you want to compete as an athlete, you simply got to train so that you can do it. And one day, next day. It's not a big deal. When you look at it, it's like, oh, you know.
So coming up for the Astoria 2026 performance, Schoonmaker recites his most recent poem, composed while fishing over the 2025 summer, from memory. He says this is only the second time he's shared it socially. The title of this piece is Duality Absent.
Duality veils the obvious signs, with devils and angels, and even science sometimes, and political perceptions developing sides, triggering responses of ancient design, suggested by hunger in the predator's mind, and in the inquiring sciences where perceptions align with kingdom and phylum and order defined. Similarities and differences carefully labeled, as in mineral taxonomy and in the periodic tables, with philosophy's logic and theology's fables, applying division, sometimes blind scrutiny, with thoughts of dominion and manifest destiny.
Fisher Poet events taking place in the Astoria Liberty Theater will be available to listen to through Coast Community Radio's KMUN's website, www.kmun.org. Schoonmaker will be presenting at 8:45 p.m. West Coast time on Friday, February 27th. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
Schoonmaker's full poem is at kbbi.org. And in other news, the Coast Guard commissioned its newest vessel in Kodiak last week, the fast-response cutter Frederick Mann. That's Frederick Mann. That's the sixth one based in Alaska, and more Coast Guard assets are in the works. Rear Admiral Bob Little, the commander of the Coast Guard in Alaska, says he's advocating for an increased presence in Alaska's Arctic.
So my objective and my direction, my team, is push forward, push into the Arctic, find places to operate out of, test the system, identify capabilities that we need.
And that requires a lot of money. During a press conference last month, Alaska's junior senator Dan Sullivan highlighted last year's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which included nearly $25 billion for the Coast Guard. The Republican senator said that's the single largest cash investment the military branch has ever seen, which the Coast Guard has confirmed. Sullivan says more than $200 million of those dollars have gone towards adding three fast-response cutters for Coast Guard Base Kodiak, which is the largest in the country. And he says there is hundreds of millions of dollars more flowing to Kodiak.
They're expecting two additional offshore patrol cutters. They're going to go from five to nine MH-60s. These are the new helicopters. They've had almost $150 million in family housing, $40 million for Child Care Development Center, $145 million for a new fuel pier. So that's just Kodiak.
He says the six current cutters will be spread across coastal Alaska and joined by other Coast Guard vessels in the future.
And to spread it out, to make sure that it wasn't just Kodiak and Ketchikan, but fast response cutters to Sitka, to Seward, 87-footers to Juneau, to Petersburg, and then we later got one to Valdez.
Three fast-response cutters currently dock in Kodiak, but one is slated to be homeported in Seward after $50 million of new infrastructure is in place there. Likewise, Ketchikan has two fast-response cutters of its own, the John McCormick and Bailey Bargo. A third is temporarily docking there until facilities in Sitka are ready, according to KRBD.
As we build out our shipbuilding and ship maintenance capacity, which is clearly happening in Seward, in Ketchikan, and other places, because we're getting more ships, the Coast Guard's interest in putting even more ships in Alaska increases.
Sullivan is also pushing for some of the yet-to-be-built medium icebreakers to be homeported in Alaska as well. Coast Guard Command and Admiral Kevin Lunday hasn't committed to where the 11 Arctic security cutters will be homeported, but he said during a Senate Commerce Subcommittee hearing last month that four of the vessels could go to Alaska. That's this morning's news. This is KBBI AM 890 Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO. Good morning.